First topic, we'll talk briefly about Yayin. This week's parasha, everybody said, this week's parasha, we learned about the Nazir. The Nazir is a beautiful sugya. There's so much to learn. Dafyomi learned Masech the Nazir not that long ago, pretty recently. And in the sugya of Nazir, so if you just look at the Nazir alone, okay, so it's a very nice story. You have a person, he makes a neder, ish, kiyafli, lindor, neder, nazir, lahazir, lahashem. Neder, nazir, lehazir, lahashem. It's a tongue twister. Ish, kiyafli, lindor. Well, ish, whatever. Yeah, I'm parashav. If you look at this, what does it say? Lehazir lahashem. Okay, so we're dealing with the nazir. So if you look at the story of nazir by itself, it's a very nice story. You have a person who wants to become holy, and he wants to deny himself from all of the pleasures of this world. And it's very interesting. What are the pleasures of this world? I mean, you can look at them in a different way. So of course, yayin represents the ultimate. Delicious yayin, alcohol, alcoholic beverages, and not only that, sechora, amri lenazir, stay away even from the grapes, stay away from the chartzanim, the zog, the pits, the skin. Once, if you want to abstain from yayin, it's not going to work just to stay away from the grapes, from the wine. You have to completely distance yourself from everything. Anything related. That itself is a very powerful limud musar. And then it says you're not allowed to go to the cemetery. Now, why not? So you can look at it two different ways. Either because you have to be in a state of tahara and the dead is tuma. Okay, so you have to be tahar. Is that the only pshat? Or is the pasuk, I always wondered about this, is the pasuk telling you that the nazir has to abstain from pleasure? And we may not appreciate this, we may not really understand this, is that there is a certain pleasure that people have, and it's not just for the litvaks. it's for everyone. There's a certain pleasure in going to a cemetery. Okay, everyone knows that.
No, leaving.
I always wondered about this. Think about it. Let me tell you, everyone knows the joke. The joke is so old. It's so stale. On Purim, there are four pesukim in the Gilas Es that we lay in the Nigun of Eicha. Eicha cho, uchal v'roisi, boro, asher yimtzohes. Why do we have to lay in four pesukim in such a happy day in the Megillah that is so sad? So the old stale joke from 1,000 years is, it's a day of happiness for everyone. We want to give the Litvaks some simcha also. We want to give the Litvaks some joy. You understand? If you don't understand the joke, everyone understands the joke. No one's laughing because the joke is so stale. You want to give the Litvaks some joy because the Litvaks, they love. It warms their heart when they lane the Nigun of Eicha. Because the Litvaks, they're crazy. They enjoy morose things. You don't get them.
No, I understand. But the truth is, I explained it, but the truth is that in the Middle Ages, when the Jews were given the choice, it's the Sfaradim that converted. The Jews chose that, the Ashkenazim chose them. That's the numbers game. In Germany and France, the Jews said, then kill me. But in Spain, they faked it and said, okay, we'll become Christians, and they...
Meranos.
Yeah.
The Anusim. All right, I hear, now, so what I'm trying to suggest is that there's some truth to this joke.
Yeah.
And there is a degree, it's part of the human condition. Is there a certain degree of satisfaction and pleasure in connecting with the dead? Because that's just the way it is. When people go to their parents, they go to the base of Beis HaKvaros, there's a certain, you reflect, you think back about your life, you connect. There is a certain degree of satisfaction in connecting with where you come from, memories. Look, Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, the famous Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, the Rosh Yeshiva of YU, known affectionately as the Rav. By the Soloveitchiks, they don't go to the cemetery. They don't believe in it. Right. They mamish don't. There are a lot of Gedolei Yisrael. There's a big miracle. Is there an Indian to go to the cemetery? Right. Yeah, a person dies, you bury him, and that's it. The neshama goes to Shemaim. What are you going to the cemetery for? What's the purpose? And by the Briskas, they very much downplay the value in going to a cemetery. You're wasting your time. You go to a cemetery, it's a whole day trip. Oh, traffic, and you wait, and you're there, and you come there. It's very... What? Okay, wherever you go, but it really takes a lot out of you. What's the value? What do you get out of this? You daven. Go daven at home. Go daven. Why don't you go and daven a better mincha? Come 5 minutes early to mincha and actually say the words of Ashrei, every single word, and daven for real. What do you need to go to the cemetery for? You don't believe that Hashem is everywhere. There are 10 living people. The Shechin is here. You have to go to the cemetery, to the dead. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, when I went once to visit, so I came to Bnei Brak, American tourist, and I came there. The first thing I said to Bnei Brak, I says, where is the cemetery? I want to go see the Chazon Ish. I want to go see all the Gedolei Yisrael, the Stipler. So the guy looks at me, an Israeli, he looks at me, he says to me, you come from America to visit the dead. Why don't you go to the living? Why don't you go visit all of the Gedolei Yisrael who are living? Go to all the yeshivas and watch the Talmidei Chachamim, the Rabbanim. You come from America to visit the dead. I said, yeah, because the dead don't talk. They don't talk back to you. Okay? And he really shook me up.
I think it goes back to Reb Chaim Volozhiner.
Chaim Volozhiner. They don't believe in this. They don't believe in this. They don't, and they're not the only ones. The Briskas don't believe in going to the cemetery. Goes back of Chaim Harav, Dr. Colonel Shlomo Cohen Shlita. It's good to hear your voice. He tells us that this goes back not from the Briskas, it goes back to Chaim Volozhin. Okay, they don't. Not they don't go altogether. I mean, it's not something that's, to dwell upon. But the Hasidim, they don't. No, Adrab, Hasidim, they go to the Rebbe, they go to the Misakvaris, they travel the world. I have a friend in Ar Yitzchak, he loves this stuff. He goes whenever he has an opportunity, he gets on a plane, he goes to Hungary, he goes to Poland, he goes here. He just has this passion to go to these kvarim, these old kvarim. He finds new people to go there and to daven. Okay, to each his own. Different strokes for different folks. Now, why am I telling you this? Because of Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, one of the great briskas of America, the goyin, who can come to Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, and the Rav. He went, when his wife passed away, he went to the Beis HaKvaros very often. You had it every week?
Every week.
Could you imagine? Coming from a family where they don't hold from this period, not even to go on the yard site, he went every single week to the kever of his wife.
His wife was nifta when there was a cemetery strike in the
60s. Yeah.
He called up the prince.
Yeah, the Babich, yeah.
And said, get me some buffer.
Okay.
So they didn't think they were gonna. They knew that they were rabbis.
Okay.
So
they let them in.
They dug and they
wow! I never knew that. Very interesting. Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik went to the cemetery every week. It's Yudu, and he would say. He would always say. Rabbi Rekev always says this. He would say, I know this is not the minhag in my family. I know where I come from. We don't do this. This is not acceptable. This is not something that is done. But what could I do? I just have to go. He had obviously a very good marriage, and he was in extreme pain losing his wife.
Did he ever remarry?
No. No, and he said, what could I do? I just have to go. I have to be there. I have to be there. He was zoichet to have a very good marriage. Okay? And he went and he said, I know my Zaydus, they wouldn't believe what I'm doing. I'm in violation of everything that they believe in. Like, I have no choice. I have to go. What do you see from that? You see that there is a degree of satisfaction. Not everyone. Different strokes for different folks. Of going to the Beis HaKvaros and connecting with people that you were close with, people that you love, people, your parents. There is a pleasure. It's mamish, a pleasure. And there's no question about it. There is a degree of satisfaction. Pukhazi. Okay, everyone, you know, everyone, you can't generalize. But so I always tinkered with this, is that the Torah says a nazir is not allowed to drink yai. What does that mean? Oh, a nazir has to abstain in order to become holy. Yisurim. It's like Yisurim shel ava. You have to go in order to train yourself. The purpose of life is not to have pleasure. A guy, it's all the more pleasure the better. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. Wherever you can go and you can to fulfill, to satisfy your taivis, ad ein sof. To a degree, it's true. It's to a degree. Yeah, but you have to be, you know, you have to, whatever. Klali, so no. That's not the purpose of this world. The purpose of this world is to be an Oved Hashem. And it requires that you distance yourself from pleasure. And of course, you have to have pleasure also, but everything has to be done in a balanced way, according to the laws of the Torah. Be'itoy uvizmanoy. There's a time and a place for everything, but there is a very strong emphasis on musar, which means to deny yourself from the pleasures of this world, to fast, to daven, to afflict yourself, to go into golus, the gra. He just went into Golas. Can you imagine? You go into the Golas for the sake of going off. You're right, you pick yourself up, you have no money, and I'm now going to go to California. People have done this. They write this in the magazine. I have no money. What? I'm going to hitch. I'm going to go now without a penny to my name. I'm going to go to California.
Become rich?
No, not become rich. Just to go there. How are you going to go? Go. Just figure it out. No money. You can't buy a plane ticket. You don't have money. So yeah, you can go out to the highway and hitch a ride. Go put your thumb up and try, and I'll take you until here. And then from there, you'll walk here. I'll get a ride with you. Maybe I can go schnorr some money from someone. I'll go buy a bus ticket. I'll go buy this. And somehow, you wind up in California. How long will it take you? It'll take you a couple of weeks, couple of days. Dear people, have tried this experiment. And what is the goal of doing this? It humbles you. When you go in a self-imposed exile, this number of stories you will have if you survive and you reach your destination and come back, you can write many, many volumes.
Didn't Shlomo have that?
Shlomo, against his will, he didn't do it voluntarily. Shlomo was deposed. Ashmedai came in and told him, get out, I'm now in charge. Ashmedai was a demon. And he told him to get out, and Shlomo went out into the street, he was thrown out of the castle, and he walked in and he says, excuse me, I'm the king. I'm Shlomo HaMelech. Yeah, and I'm George Washington. If you're the king, I'm George Washington. Okay, so he saw it wasn't such a good idea for him to tell her I'm the king, because they think he's crazy, he can't prove it. Okay, he took him. If a person goes into Golos, Hashem will bring upon you experiences like you can't even imagine. And it will humble you, and it will totally change your relationship with Hashem. You're going to need to rely upon Hashem to survive. You're going to be humiliated. You're going to see incredible siyata d'shmaya, and you can do this voluntarily to bring this upon you. Many gedolei Yisrael did justice. The Gra, who is greater than the Gra, is genius beyond geniuses, and he did this. He's one day picked himself up and decided he's going to travel the world. Go a self-imposed exile. No one knows why he did it, but the basic reason why he did it was because other gedolim did this, and it humbles you, and you're able to see incredible hashgacha pratis. That's what life is about.
How long did he go? Was he away?
I don't know the exact dates, but for a significant period of time. I think Rashi also did this. Rashi also went on it, but Rashi did it for a purpose. Rashi did it to disseminate his kuntres on Chumash and to get a reaction, feedback. Rashi went with nothing. He went from shtetl to shtetl, and he came into a shul and he put on the table. He was the first person, Rashi, papalach. Whenever you see in shul, these papalach on the table, I clean up. It's a Shabbos. I'm in charge. Right, Davin, of cleaning. I have so much fun doing this. I clean up all the papalach. And you know what I do with it when I'm finished? Throw it in the garbage. But if someone catches me, throw it in the garbage, they'll kill me. So I have to package it nicely in plastic bag and fold it up nice. When I'm done, I have a heavy bag. They come, they deliver Friday afternoon and Thursday papers, tzetlach like you've never seen before. Every yokel has cartoons of Igda Miller and this one and that one. We got stacks and stacks. What they put on the table, you can't even believe. And if we wouldn't go and clean it up once a week, we would be buried. Mamish buried in these papalach. Who was the first one to do this? Rashi. Rashi was the first one. He put on the table the tzetel with the parish of Rashi on that week's parsha. It was called the kuntres. He wrote it by hand. No photo offset. He wrote it by hand, put on the table. Rashi sat in the back of the room, back of the shul, like a schnorr. And he listened to people. He saw them walk into shul. They picked it up. They read it and they discussed it. And he got feedback. He heard the comments, and through the comments, he refined what he wrote because he saw what they understood. They did not understand. The best story is, a guy walks in, and Rashi, no one even knew who he was. No one knew who is this anonymous person who puts down on the table the kuntres. It was called the kuntres. And one week, Rashi went, it was in exile, and it was freezing, freezing cold. And he put down on the table this kuntres, and he sat there in the back in a freezing cold little shtibel. And he was waiting for someone to come and to read it and hear what he had to say. Finally, a guy walks in, picks it up, he starts reading it. And then he says, what does Rashi want here? What does he want? What is he writing here? What is he trying to say? What does he want? What does Rashi want? So Rashi, sitting in the back, goes, Rashi wants a hot bowl of soup. That's what he wants. A freezing cold. That's the legend. The legend of Rashi. The kuntres. So what am I trying to say? It's davar pashut. The goal of Yadus is discipline, is musar, is infliction, fasting, tainus. The nazir is in training. And the way the nazir trains himself is he distances himself from the pleasures of the world. The mashal of the pleasures of the world is yayin. Yayin. We don't appreciate this today because today we have all these other indulgences. We have a whole world of food, cuisine. What goes on out there in the world of food is just not to be believed. But back in ancient times, what did you have already? What kind of food did you have already? A good cup of wine. Yayin is a mashal for the ta'anuge ha'olam hazeh. What? Yeah, he had lettuce. He had lettuce. Can you imagine? That's what it was called, lettuce and radishes. That was called a delicacy, to have lettuce. Today, lettuce, who wants lettuce? Today you want who knows what, some exotic steak and some this and that. Who knows what you want? The different standards. Yayin represents the concept of ta'anuge ha'olam hazeh. The nozer has to distance himself from the ta'anuge ha'olam hazeh. Now, part two, what else is the nazir not allowed to do? He's not allowed to come in contact with the dead. So why? So simply, it's nothing to do with distancing yourself from ta'anugi olam hazeh. The reason is because a nazir has to be in a state of purity. Tahara. Tahara. The dead, there's some contamination. We don't necessarily are attuned to sense what the contamination is, but tumas hames is damaging. It's harmful. Stay away. I want to suggest that the reason why the Torah tells the Nazir to distance himself from the dead, it's not only because of Tumah, it's because that's also a pleasure. That's also a very deep, it's a very deep pleasure. These are the two extremes of pleasure. There's the form of pleasure where it's open and blatant. Open and blatant pleasure is, yayin, a delicious birthday cake. Yayin, wine, And then there's another pleasure. It's the complete opposite on the spectrum, but it is maybe even a more profound form of pleasure. And that is to connect yourself to the dead. There is a satisfaction of being with people who are no longer. Your memories, your reflection upon, I miss them very much. Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, isn't that what he said? I have to go. Why do you have to go? I need this. Okay, so the Torah says if you're a Nazir, there are higher standards. We don't want you to have that pleasure. We want you to go it alone. When you go it alone and you don't connect to your relatives, to the dead, that's painful. And that pain, if you properly calibrate it, you can grow from that loneliness to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like the Bardishava. Bardishava, what was he machadish? Bardishava. Hisboididus. Hisboididus. That was one of his big things.
Breslov
also. Okay, but who's the Hisboid? You go into the forest, you're all alone. There's no one out there but Hashem. There's no one else to talk to but Hashem. Don't go to the cemetery. Don't talk to the dead. Don't connect yourself. Don't give yourself that pleasure of however it works. Go alone. And you go in it alone, it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I want to suggest it's also chilek of the denial of pleasure not to contaminate to the dead. And what is the third thing? The third thing is, that's a push-up shot. I told you, so I said disclaimer. The disclaimer is, going to a cemetery is a ruach hatumah. There is kedusha. Kodoy shihiye gadol perasarosha. Absolutely. The push-up shot is, I said in the very beginning, don't contaminate to the dead because the dead brings upon you. A nazir is a holy person and there's a koich of tumah. How does this work? In our generation, we don't really understand. It doesn't really make a dent in us. You go to the mikvah, you don't go to the mikvah. We don't really understand this, but obviously a holy person understands that tumas meis damages the neshama. It is harmful for the neshama, and if you're trying to elevate yourself in kedusha v'tahara, you cannot come in contact because of the koyach of tumah. That is absolutely the pshutoy shel mikra. But I'm trying to suggest, on a deeper level, there's something called a pleasure. The goal of the nazir is to deny himself from the pleasures, the ta'anugei oylem hazeh. And the simplest tanugi olam hazeh is represented with the concept of yayin. But there's another element of pleasure in this world. We may not appreciate this, but you do see, talk to a psychologist, and look at the story I gave him of Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, and I think every single person, to a small degree, when they look at their own relatives, there is a certain satisfaction of connecting with the dead, a tainug of the dead. I know someone, people, they give crazy amounts of money to restore matzevos. They restore old matzevos. They build an oil. I know someone that gave my own great-great-grandfather. I have nothing to do with this. My cousins are into this. They love this stuff. I don't. To me, it doesn't make much of a dent. But for some reason, they like this stuff. They went to Poland, and they found the kever of my great great grandfather. His name was Rav Nosson Levine, at the Reish Rav's father, who was also the Reish Rav. He was the son-in-law of the Beis Yitzchak. The Beis Yitzchak had two children, Aaron and Hadassah. Aaron died tragically, I think, when he was 21 years old, and the Beis Yitzchak never. He could not deal with the tragedy of the loss of his son, 21 years old. He never was able to overcome it. Shmelkis. Yitzchak Yehuda Shmelkis. The Beis Yis is a famous. He was the first one to paskin on electricity. He paskin that it's osur because it's esh. There's no one today in the world that accepts what he said. His opinion has been thoroughly rejected. He said turning on using electricity is esh. No, there's no one today that will tell you that. Electricity is not esh. Electricity is midrabanan, according to almost every single opinion. And the chazoinish is a das yochid, that it's boineh or makeh bepadish. There is no one in the world today that will tell you that using electricity is an isur deraisa of havara on Shabbos. But the Beis Yitzchak was one of the first people to paskin on electricity, and he said that it's osur midin esh. Okay? Whatever. There are a lot of things. He was also one of the first people to paskin on machine matzah. One of the first poiskim, I don't even know what he said. One of the first poiskim to paskin on machine matzah. He was a genius. He was a very big guy. The Beis Yitzchak. When was about 120 years ago? More, 150 years ago. Rav Yitzchak Yehuda Shmelkis. They actually found his grave. They didn't know where his grave was. They found it in Poland somewhere, in a big, massive cemetery. They didn't know where his grave was until very recently. They were able to find it, and it's part of a massive cemetery. I don't even know. I don't know. I told you I'm not into this. This stuff for some reason doesn't really interest me. My cousin. Oh, so what happened to the Beis Yitzchak? The Beis Yitzchak had a son and a daughter. He had a son by the name of. He had a son of the name of. His son's name was Aaron.
Wait, what?
And his daughter's name was Hadassah. His son died. His son died tragically when he was 21 years old. The Beis Yitzchak never stopped mourning his whole life. He had a daughter. He married his daughter to a boy by the name of Nosson Levine. And he comes from a very chashuv mishpacha, and they had a child. And the name of their child was Aaron. They named the child after the son who died.
And the brother.
They named it after Hadassah's brother.
So this is the
grandson. So they named Aaron Levine, who was the Reish Rav, who was the second Reish Rav, was named after his grandfather, his mother's brother. What? Oh, right. So you see, in those days, they only gave one name. They didn't add a name. You didn't add a name. Aaron Chaim. They didn't add any names. You see that? It was a different world then. And the Reish Rav looked at this child that was named Aaron, ki'ilu he was a reincarnation of his own son. And he basically took him away from Nosson and Hadassah, and he raised him. He took him away. He was like he found nechama in this child, and he read. That's why the Reish Rav was basically privately schooled by him. So how do we even get to this?
Cemeteries.
So I was telling you over here. So this person who Nosson Levine, he ultimately became the Rav of Reisha. They didn't like him when he arrived there on the first day, the first night. The Hasidim, they threw stones into his house.
I hate to bother you, but yesterday was the yahrzeit of the Maaser Rekeach. The Maaser Rekeach was a grandfather.
Right, he was miyachis up to the Rekeach. Everyone's miyachis up to the same people. You're also from the Rekeach. Everyone's from the same people. You go back enough generations, we're all brothers. So when the Reish Rav arrived in Raisha, they voted him in, and he arrived on the first day, they had a house for him. Or he bought a house, I don't know. He moved in, and that night, all the windows were shattered. Who shattered the windows? The Hasidim. The Hasidim took stones, and they threw it, and they shattered all the windows. They didn't like him. They didn't want him. Why didn't they want the Reish Rav? So they wrote this up in the newspaper. The police came. They complained that he's too modern. The Reish Rav of Nosson was too modern for Raisha, and especially his wife. They cannot accept Hadassah, Rebetzin Hadassah, because she wears stylish shaitels.
Stylish in those days.
Her shaitel was too stylish. She was too fancy. So what am I telling you this for? When he died, his kever is in shambles. My cousins were able to get from someone $20,000 to rebuild his oihel and matzeva. Would you give $20,000 for a matzeva? I wouldn't. There are people who this means something to them. There is a proof to this point that there is a pleasure. There are people in this world that find enormous pleasure. Okay, wait, wait a minute. They find enormous pleasure connecting with the dead.
Safra, the multi-millionaire Safra?
Yeah.
He, if you go to Eretz Yisrael, almost every kever there was refurbished
by him. There's a pleasure. So I'm trying to suggest to you this principle that's part of the reason why a Nazir is not allowed to engage with the dead, because we see in this world, not everyone feels this way, but you look around, Puk Chazia, I gave you two stories. Someone will give you $20,000 for a stranger? Who would do that? And Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, he said that he went every week. It goes to, look at the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe went every single day, Kemat. Kemat, every single day he went to his father-in-law to daven by his kever, to connect with him. There is obviously a pleasure a person has connecting with the dead. Nazir, go it alone. I don't want you connecting with the dead, because that's too much pleasure. That's too much. And don't have yayin, the two extremes. Go it alone. There is a demand. There is a demand of. Hashem wants the Nazir to connect only to Hashem. No pleasure, not in any form. Kodosh Yihyeh Gadel Pera Sarosha. And what's with the hair? I don't know. I have no idea what this is about. I have no idea. He should grow long hair. What value is there? How does that make him holy? So there's a Gemara. There's a Gemara Masech the Nazir, the Kama Daf Gimel. And the Gemara says there was a boy. Okay, this is the Gemara. You have to understand what the Gemara means. I don't know what the Gemara means. A boy, one of the Tanoim, he saw there was a boy and he was a Kohen. This Tana, or this, I don't know who was a Kohen. And he would, the Beis HaMikdash was still in existence at this time. And people would come, they would bring, Nazirim would come. And they bring a Karban, they bring Karbanos, they bring a Chatas. There are three Karbanos. Who eats the Karban Chatas? The Kohen. So this particular Kohen says, I don't eat a Karban Chatas from any Nazir. You know why? I suspect that the reason why the person became a Nazir was insincere. It's like Chulin Bazara. All these guys are fakers. The reason why they become a Nazir, and this was the minog, is, you know, it's good for the Shidduch resume. It's good for the Shidduch resume. You put on your Shidduch resume, I was a Nazir. Oh, he's a Nazir. It's like, I learned in Brisk. I learned, oh, he's a holy person. Right away, your prospects for Shidduchim go up. So this koyet, I don't eat the karbanos of these nazirim, because they're all fakers. There was one exception. There was one exception when he was a young boy, and this young boy came, the whole story, I don't even remember the details, and this young boy said that he was walking one day and he saw his reflection in the mirror, in a babua, in a puddle of water. In the water, in a puddle of water. In a puddle of water, he saw his reflection, and he said, wow, I'm a good-looking guy. I can have any girl I want. I can do any aver I want. And he realized that, and he right away said, Chas v'shalom, Elokim, he make a shvua, I'm going to serve Hashem, and I'm going to take my beauty. So it appears from this Gemara that the Se'or represents beauty. It's like a tree. Look at young people, they have such nice hair. Who's the press secretary, Ramachal, for the Department of Defense? There's this guy, he has very nice hair. He's the most dyeous hair. How do you have such nice hair?
Kirby,
right. Kirby has really nice hair. You ever see his hair? How old is he? Looks like 60 years old? And how do you have such nice hair when you're 60 years old like that? Okay? Of course he dyes it, but it grows also. And if you remember, they don't talk about this anymore now, but when Trump years ago was running, his obsession with his hair. Obsession. He has an obsession, and the people, they is that hair really? Is it real? I don't know. I don't have these problems, Rabbi Yisai. I don't have these problems. But it does appear from Chazal that Seor represents the beauty of a person. And Viharaya?
Is there
Irva also? A woman. Yeah. Das Yehudis is for a woman to cover her hair. Okay? We're not getting into over here a discussion, the Aruch HaShulchan, during davening, not during davening. But obviously, the Seor of a person, I don't know, you know, understand the full depth of this, but you get a sense from Chazal that here represents the Tanuge Oilam Hazeh. It also represents beauty. It represents the beauty of this world. The beauty of this world. A woman has a beautiful hair. Okay, young Yisui Sarah or nice, young people. Ah, nice, beautiful hair. What do we learn about here? He has to grow beautiful hair, but here it's a little bit different. And then you have to destroy it. It's painful to spend 30 days growing, developing hair, beautiful yoifi, and then what do? You cut it off and you burn it. The hiskalach, you destroy it. Now, it's not obvious that's what it means, because on the other hand, look at the Kohen Gadol. Every single day the Kohen Gadol got a haircut. Now what does that mean? They shaved him bald? L'chore not. So he also had hair. Just they cut it, then it should be nice. But he did have hair. A regular Kohen is not allowed to have hair more than 30 days. But generally, it's a given that long hair represents yoifi. What does the Nazir do for 30 days? You basically bring into this world yoifi for the purpose of destroying it. That's very frustrating. It's a very frustrating thing is to can you imagine, you go and you paint the Mona Lisa and then you bring it to the Lag BaOmer ceremony and you put it in the fire. I'm painting, I'm going to spend months and years to paint a beautiful portrait, which is priceless, for the purpose of destroying it. As if to say, Yibayna Shalaylam, it's not about this world.
It's like a korban.
That's one, maybe the reason why there was an ancient minhag, which we don't do today, by Lag BaOmer to burn clothing. Because clothing also represent yoifi. We don't do this bal tashchis. It's a very strange thing. A nazir, the third part of the nazirs is to grow here, which l'chayra, you know, look at Yosef, v'hu nar, misalsel b'sarai. Okay? Yeah?
Is that the minhag not to cut the hair for a kid until 3 years old somehow connected to this?
No, that's our law.
That's what, so there, I think the emphasis there is the payos. Is when the kid is 3 years, you're cutting the hair in order to create the peyos. The hair is just a hechatim, so when you cut off all the other hair and you leave over the peyos, you're being mekayim the mitzvah of loy sakifu. And the peyos are called the simonim, a sign of a Jew. The fact, because the goyim in ancient times, you look at some of the pictures, these portraits, they would remove the hair. The payas would be removed, and adrab, they would leave here in the back of their head. So a sign of a Jew is adrab. You cut all the other here, and you leave over the payas harosh. So a child, when he's 3 years old, we now want that he should be identified as a Jew. And the way he will now be identified as a Jew, he wears tzitzis, and the haircut identifies him as a Jew. So there's a different reason. But a nazir grows very long, grows here for 30 days. The minimum of a nazir is only 30 days. And then what do you do with that yoifi, the beauty? You destroy it. How do you destroy it? It says in the pasuk, you destroy it on the fire of the carbon, the dud, the pot of the carbon shlamim, which you're basically saying, I am giving away. So yayin, abstain. The dead, okay, pashup shat. Tumma, but I want to say deeper, it's pleasure. Stay away from that pleasure of your connection. Maybe a person feels zuchusavais, brusavais, or somehow there's some, I don't know how, you know what this is about, connecting to some type of a satisfaction. You want to say derech hateva? No. The only one that you have in this world is Hashem. get away from pleasure of yayin, pleasure of other pleasures, only Hashem. And also do something positive. Engage in destroying pleasure. That's a little bit strange, right? That's right. Grow pleasure. Grow beautiful here and then destroy it. To show you serious. To show you dead serious that your connection is only with Hashem. That's enough. Now, we just analyzed Nazir in its own right. Isolated. Isolated Nazir. Okay, you look at Nazir, you read the Parsha. The only thing you ever learn your whole life is Nazir. I don't know nothing else but Nazir. I don't know any other mitzvah. I just studied the concept of Nazir. And it seems, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky proves this from Nach, that it seems that in time of Chazal, time of the Beis HaMikdash, this was like the rite of passage for a young boy. It was part of, like, you know, you're a young boy, you go to high school, you go to Beis Medrash, you go to Kollel. It was part of the process of life. Young boys all had to be a Nazir. It was an experience that every person had to have in their youth. It says in the Pasuk that so the Bachurim were, is a Pasuk, I've got to say, we read in the Haftarah. One of the Haftarahs, not long we read it, is at every Bachur, part of growing up, you're a Nazir. It's an experience. Like today, a boy goes to learn Eretz Yisrael, a girl goes to seminary, you take out a second mortgage, a third mortgage on your house. You go to seminary. Why are you going to seminary? It's an experience. It's a life experience.
Now when a bocher drinks wine, that makes him a gadol.
It's an experience to go. It was an experience to be a nazir. To go through this entire process. Only 30 days. It's no big deal. 30 days. But it's an experience. To let away upon you what exactly the rules, the halachas, if you come tamei, you have to be careful, v'chulu v'chulu. Okay, now if we just had Nazir by itself, wonderful. But here's the chiddush. In this week's parasha, Nazir is juxtaposed to Soida. And Chazal emphasized this to a very strong degree, that why would call haroye Soida b'kilkulo yazir atzmai min hayayin. And that is why it is presented in the Torah back to back. First is the parasha of Soita, long parasha, same aliyah, very long aliyah. The fourth aliyah of this week's parasha has three parts. Has Soita, Nazir, and Birchas Koyhan. I saw yesterday in Rabbi Zichron ben Sefer that in Tzfas, in Eretz Yisrael in Tzfas, I don't think they do it today, but back in the day, years ago, the minig was in Parshas Nosoi, they gave the Koyein, the first Aliyah, of course, and the first Aliyah ended where we end Revi'i, Chamishi, in order that the Koyein should get the Aliyah of Koy Sevaruchu Es B'nei Yisrael Amar Lohem Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha. Who do you give the Aliyah to? To Yisrael? None of your business. You're a czar. Who do you give Birchas Koyanim to? To a Koyein. Oh, but you only get the first Aliyah. We have a solution. We'll lane from the beginning of the Parsha all the way to Chamishi. Why not?
It's no problem, but also it has the most legal of suffers.
And now you can go give plenty of Aliyahs. Then you start the Chanukah, which has at least you can make out of it without even trying at least 13 Aliyahs. There are 12 Nisim, and then the Zois Chanukas HaMizbeach.
Say for I haven't had 12 legal Aliyahs in also the most of any parish.
Even at least 12, even more. You can make even more.
Right.
Without even trying, you can make 13 Aliyahs from Chamishi to the end, without even blinking. 13 Aliyahs straight, one after another. 13 Aliyahs. So why not? You give the Koyein. Mayor, are you a Koyein? Not yet. You make, you go, and you give the Koyein the first Aliyah. The Torah did this a very big chiddush, and it juxtaposed the Nazir to the Soita. Now this now opens up a whole new world in understanding a Nazir. If you learn Nazir all by itself, I just told you, abstain from the pleasures of this world. We spent over 45 minutes on this. And then I only meant to say that in 3 minutes. And now we have a whole new thing. We're comparing it to Saita. Wow. And if you look carefully, there are so many similarities. They just jump out at you between the Saita and the Nazir. Number one, the Achar Yishte Yishte Yain, corresponding to the Achar Yishte Ho'isha, it says Esamayim. But that's later. That's a different point. But the mayim, ha'ma'arim, the pasuk used the command, the same expression that you give her the water to drink. V'achar, here it is. V'achar yashke es ho'isha es ha'moyim, corresponding to v'achar yishte ha'nozir yayin. When it's all over, the Nazir drinks Yayin. When he finishes the term of Nazirus, what do you do now? What's the last part of the process? L'chaim. Yishte, what you were not allowed to do until now, now you do. Yishte ha-Nazir Yayin. That's what it says. After he finishes the Nazirus, he drinks Yayin. And what does it say after this whole, the husband brings his wife to Beis HaMikdash, this, a whole long procedure. And what's the last part of the procedure? The very last thing? V'yachar yishte es ho'isho es hamoyim. What else? Ufora es sa'ar roisho. They uncover her here. It doesn't say they uncover her body, that Chazal say. But it's the only thing that it says in the Torah is expose her here. What does the Nazir do? Kodosh yihyeh gadel pera. Same word. Ufora es roisho isho. Corresponding to the Nazir, Kodosh ye gadel pera sa'ar reishai, to grow long here. What is the, now this is really what we'll talk about is yayin. Why don't we drink yayin mizman hazeh? What is the sensitivity of yayin? The Gemara, it's a pasuk. Really, it's a pasuk. It's a nasmachta to the in the Zoyis HaBaracha. I forgot the pasuk with yayin. It's called yayin esach. You're not allowed, a guy who touches yayin is also. Yayin nesach is also. You're not allowed to drink wine that has come in contact with a Gentile. And there used to be such a thing. We don't do this anymore today. Even if a guy even looks at the yayin, just looks at the yayin, there used to be such a chumrah. All right, it's off limits. Or at least, you may be able to drink, but don't use it for kiddush and havdalah. Don't use yayin that was looked, if a goy looked at the yayin, don't use it for kiddush or for havdalah, for a dvar mitzvah. Just if he looks at the yayin. And if he touches the yayin, don't even need to drink it all. And then there's something called bizman hazeh, stam yayinam. Today there's no such thing as yayin nesach, unless you go to a church and you steal the kedem grape juice. They probably have in the church kedem grape juice, but it's mevushel.
But
manischewitz. Manischewitz. So the Mestama, they have also Manischewitz non-Mevushel. Right? Mestama? They have Mestama. Yeah, Manischewitz non-Mevushel. So if you go to the church and you steal the Manischewitz non-Mevushel, that might taka be the real deal. The real Yayin Esach. Today, if it's not in the church, no one's pouring wine to Avodah Zarah. So there's no real Yayin Esach, but it's still Osir Midrabanan, because stam yenam, that the minute continues. The minute I was saying the yadenu, the minute continues. We don't. Why? When it's not mevushel. That's not mevushel. Why are we not allowed to drink stam yenam? So Chazal say, because you may ishus. One of the main reasons is by pas, and by pasakum. And the Bishalakum and Yayines, Yayistam Yenam, they're all under the same umbrella. Under the same umbrella organization, intermarriage. Right. Intermarriage. Okay, some more than others. Yayinesach has other issues of Avodah Zarah, but it's also cited klar in the Poskim. One of the reasons why Bizman Hazeh Stam Yenam is Osir, which goes back to Yayin, is intermarriage. Yayin leads to zima. A little too much wine, your mind is loosened, and it leads to women. And women, the worst type of thing is a shiksa, a non-Jewish woman. What is the parish of Saita all about? What?
Worst thing is Eish
HaSish. Worst thing, right, we learned that. Eish HaSish is the worst thing, absolutely. It's worse than a goy in a shiksa. You're right. But it's right, but a goya is serious. So there's right away a very powerful similarity to get appreciating. Once you make the connection between Nazir and Saita, it opens up a whole new world of what is the purpose of a Nazir. And at the first level, you have to understand that, well, what does the Torah tell a Nazir not to do? To drink Yayin. What did the Saita do that got her into trouble? She had a relationship with a man that's not her husband. There was an element of illicit relations. So that opens up, does that mean to say that the whole purpose of a Nazir is, Nazir, you have a problem. You have a Yetzirah that's out of control. But there's certain people in this world, everyone has their own Yetzirah. Some people have a Yetzirah for money that's not theirs. These types, you don't find them getting into trouble with women. You don't find them, you know, all different types of people in society, everyone has their problem. Some people, they have no problem with money. They never stole a penny their whole life, but they get into trouble with women. Women, they can't control themselves. There's always rumors circulating, this woman, that woman. There are people who get into trouble with money, and they're clean. They never had an ASIC with a woman. Who becomes a nausea? Is it to suggest that because that these are juxtaposed with Saita, the primary discipline that Nazir is coming to fortify is a person who feels that he's losing the battle of the Yetzihara for Nashim? And that, Mamel, a person that does not have that problem, everyone has their Nisyonis in life, that's not my Nisyon in life. My Nisyon in life is Zechveis Apikursis. Okay? Everyone has their Mishigas. But people, if the Mishigas is Noshim, the antidote for Taiva, for Noshim, is Saita. Don't drink Yayin. Because Yayin is where you're going to break down, you're going to lose control. Don't be Mitame Lemes. Now, how does that help? How does that help? So it would seem to apply that this, and you have to analyze that tumas meis, or maybe you would say depression. Put it like this, and we're trying to be a psychologist. There's an entirely different element in going to the dead. Depression. Many people will tell you that the nichshol in noshim when they're depressed. This is a fact. Today, unfortunately, the internet is a monster. And there's this continuous, you know, continuous push to guard from these dangers. And a lot of Ravanim, when they talk about this, they say, yeah, everything is good. But everyone gets down. Everyone has a bad day. And when a person is depressed, that it weakens the person where he tries to have an outlet to, you know, to distract himself of this matter. So isn't the haloi davar? Don't go to a cemetery. Besides the fact that you're a holy person, you're a nazir, and therefore there's tumas meis. A cemetery for many people is very depressing. People cry at a cemetery. They get depressed. Life is short, this, not fair. Hashem said, nazir, you got a problem with women? Your Yetzirah is out of control? Okay. Number one, don't get depressed. Stay away from the cemetery. Stay away from the dead. It's not a good place. People are very depressed. It's contagious. And when a person is depressed, that is the worst thing when it comes to his battle against the Yetzirah for Noshim. Number two, don't engage in alcohol, Yayin. Yayin will weaken your mind and it leads to terrible averos. And what about Gadel Yiyeh Perasar Roshay? Well, obviously, that's the easiest of them all. That's Mamash the Gemara, that's the Mefarish the Gemara. The Gemara says that this young man was walking and he came across a mirror, a puddle, and he saw his reflection. And what did he say? I can now go to the base Zoinois. I can have any woman I want. Any woman I want. That's what the Gemara says. The average guy who goes to the base Zoinois can't have any woman he wants because they don't want him. If you're an ugly ferd, they don't want you. Forget about you want them. They don't want you. They don't want you. So this fellow said, I can have anyone I want. I'm beautiful. I said, I'm in a lot of trouble here. Let me take that beauty and destroy it as a safeguard. They're not going to want me. I'm bald. Ugh. You're ugly. You are ugly. Who wants you? That's the Amshul Gemara. Isn't that what it says in the Gemara? This is the Gemara. So when you go and you look at the fact that Nazir is connected to the parsha of Soita, it would appear a whole new mahalich in understanding what is the purpose of a Nazir. The tafkid of a Nazir is an antidote, a shmira against Tavas Hanoshim. If you would not compare Nazir to Soita and you look at Nazir as standalone, then a Nazir is an opportunity of Musar. It's a Rabbi Shol Salanter event. Oh, it's so late. I apologize. It was so late. We'll stop over here. Have a wonderful day.